Hi, I'm Lena.
And I'm Amon.
And this is Grounded Geeks,
where we make the geek world relevant.
And right now, we're going to delve into a show that made everything really gross and gory.
So gross, so gory, so gross, so gory.
Today we're talking about The Boys season three. First off, I'm grossed out and impressed with how how much gorier they make each season. Like episode one was pretty crazy already of season one. And then if you compare it to episode one of season three, you're like, wow, that was like nothing. That was child's play.
Yeah. Literally that, like in the first 10 minutes of that first episode of season three. So like my wife and I would actually watch this show together. Season one, season two, we watched it together. We both thoroughly enjoyed it. And after that first sequence in the first episode of season three, she was like, I need a break from this show. I'm done.
Yeah. As a public service announcement, we highly encourage you, like all the shows and movies that we talk about, if you don't feel like you are in a good mental and emotional state to watch them, don't watch them. This is actually why I don't watch the show Euphoria, because I was like, I'm not ready. I'm just not. I can't handle this. There's too many children with too many problems and it makes me sad. I can't deal with it.
Yeah. Ironically, same reason I can't really watch Abbott Elementary.
See, that makes no fucking sense. Hi, everyone. Whoever's listening out there, meet Amon, the one person in the entire world who finds Abbott Elementary sad and depressing, even though it's a comedy.
It's so sad and it's so depressing because they're making comedy out of real world depressing shit.
That's what all comedy is.
No, but this is like seriously depressing.
That's literally what all what do you think The Boys is doing?
Well, The Boys is like more fantastical and like not real. It's got superpowers. It's got this like separation between what's happening in The Boys and reality. Whereas Abbott Elementary, it's like, oh, okay, no, this is how things actually are in the public school system. That's awful.
Okay, hold on. Before we dive fully into The Boys, I do also want to just point out that Amon's voice may be sounding a bit different right now because he is having some technological, not issues. You're getting a new computer, but it hasn't arrived yet. So you're doing this through other recording. You're recording through other means right now, so his voice sounds different. So yeah, we do this on a budget. Forgive us, whatever. Okay. Okay. Let's just get into it. Let's get into, first of all,
yeah,
I think the portrayal of Vought, the corporation, is very, 100%. I think if we had superheroes in real life, this is what it would be like. They'd be all about
absolutely
marketing them, making movies, selling products with these superheroes. Like it would turn into this disgusting corporate capitalistic mess.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we see that honestly, like we see that with like every sort of like History Month, Heritage Month, you know, like Black History Month, Pride Month, Women's History, like all these corporations are like, look at us. We care about Black people. We care about gay people. We care about women. And you're like, okay, but you're still donating money to politicians who do the exact opposite of caring for those groups of people and any sort of marginalized people. So it just reminds me a lot of that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I think that the hallmarkification of these different recognition months, whether it be LGBTQ plus Pride Month, Black History Month, Women's History Month, Asian Pacific Islander History Month, what have you, I still think, though, that it is a net positive because while it's not good to just talk the talk and not walk the walk. Sometimes, you know, it's this whole notion of you got to fake it till you make it, where, you know, the fact that these corporations are going all in with their ads and things like that, eventually the employees who work there start to call out the places they work at to be like, hey, you got to be better. if you're going to say this shit, you got to be, you got to actually talk. You actually got to walk the walk. All right. And I think that in general, it's a net positive. However, what's happening in the boy with VOD, I think is more similar to games like Call of Duty. All right. And like the U.S. military paying the NFL to fly their jets over the stadium. You know, these different games, whether it's Rainbow Six, Call of Duty, what have you, they get a lot of money from weapons manufacturers
mm-hmm.
to put their weapons into their games, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, and that is, I think, more similar to what's happening with VOD.
Yeah,
where they're using, I mean, one of the first scene in that very first episode, you see the scene in a movie from a movie where Homelander is there battling yeah. Stormfront and shit. And it's based off of the movie is based off of what happened in season two of The Boys. All right. And which says to me that for VOD, all of this promotional stuff is more about getting the U.S. military to buy VOD's superhero product. Because mm-hmm. if they can create a positive image in the public's eye of themselves and what their heroes offer, then eventually that will leak into how politicians view that.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what is needed. And you see that throughout the show, where especially in season two and also going into season three, where VOD is trying to get their heroes into the U.S. military and to do
yeah.
carry out action. And that's where the real money is in defense contracting.
Right. You know? Right.
Mm-hmm. So what VOD is doing, I think, in terms of what's happening in the real world is more akin to different guns and weapons manufacturers putting themselves into marketing their product through video games.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. Just to go back on what you were saying, though, and push back on that before, when you were saying mm-hmm. that it's an overall net positive, I don't know if I agree with that. Just because the whole faking it till you make it, I think works for human beings. It doesn't work for corporations. And I mean, at my previous job, I was a Disney employee, and I was there when the whole don't say gay bill thing kind of blew up. And most Disney employees were really, really upset to find out that Disney's been basically helping or like, you know, donating to politicians who support this bill. And it was right. just, it was like such like hypocrisy, really. Cause
yeah.
internally at the company, they'd been putting on all these like amazing pride events and, you know, like learning about the LGBTQ community, all this stuff. And then they're doing this. So there was a lot of uproar internally with that. And it, like, I don't really know if anything's going to, sure, there was a pause to donations, but I don't know if there's any lasting change that's going to come from that. Because
yeah, but I think that it's a slow march and eventually it does have an impact. All right.
Yeah,
and
eventually,
the reason I say that maybe. Is because if you look at how companies operated, how work culture in corporate America was 30, 40, 50 years ago, you know, it is different. Is it great? No. But is it changing in general? I mean, there's a yeah. lot of shitty corporations out there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing is that at the end of the day, all right, these companies have two markets, all right? Their customers, the people who are giving them money to purchase their product or whatever that product may be, whether it's entertainment consumption or an actual physical product, all right? And potential new hires.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because for any company to continue growing, they have to be able to hire people.
Right.
And to hire young people who will then grow at the company and make it's a, you know, mutually beneficial relationship. If as a company grows, it is positive for new people joining the company. As there are new people joining the company can grow.
Yeah.
All right. So the thing is that in the long run, when companies put out an image like this ahead of actual changes internally, eventually those internal changes have to catch up with the rhetoric, because otherwise then you have a whole generation who's like, I'm not working at that company. They're horrible people. And I mean, when I say net positive, I am not, I'm looking at a time frame of decades. I'm measuring this change over the course of decades, not over the course of months.
Right.
All right. For example, in the immediate, I agree with you. It's just bullshit. It's just bullshit and it's crap. And a lot of our laws, including legislation and case law in many instances, actually promote the horrible decisions that corporations make.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, literally there was a case law. There's a case out of Delaware from the 1930s or whatever, where shareholders sued Ford, Henry Ford, all right, for selling a product, for wanting to basically give away cars for free to people in need. Okay. Yeah. And the Delaware court basically said that the first responsibility of the executives of any corporation is to their shareholders, all right? That they have a fiduciary duty to the investment of their shareholders, all right? And before that, that was not the purpose of a corporation, all right? One of the original purposes of a corporation was to do good for the public. And when I say original purposes of a corporation, I'm talking about the origins of like when the monarch of a country, i.e. like the UK, you know, the king or the queen would be like, I'm incorporating the East India Trading Company.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
One of the things in that corporate charter is that the corporation is supposed to do good for the public. All right. And that was basically eliminated thanks to the Delaware courts.
Wow.
All right. So these sorts of things actually have helped to contribute to the bad behaviors of many corporations.
Wow. Okay. It's bad behavior like we see with VOT. Okay.
Yes. Great. But then at the same time, you know, when you have a change in discourse, you also have instances of a company like Nike sponsoring Colin Kaepernick. All right.
Yeah.
Because they know they didn't do that out of the goodness of their heart. They did that because they knew it would sell more sneakers, you know? And it sells more sneakers because they know that if they walk the walk on racial injustice and things like that, that is going to help them earn more customers, which means it's a mutually good
cycle. Yeah. They're banking on the parts of diversity that will bring in money. And it's just funny.
Yes.
I think it's hilariously funny to see Nike as the social justice warrior, Nike with them sweatshops. Awesome.
Yes.
Everything's just ridiculous, which is why I think it makes sense that people like Butcher and the whole gang of the boys are so very much jaded by everything. They're very like, what the fuck is the point? Like, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of that mentality, I think, going on with the characters in their own ways. Yeah. But yeah, so on this season, we find out more about Butcher's backstory a bit.
Yes.
We were introduced to his dad last season, but then found out more about his younger brother, which then the whole relationship with Huey makes a lot of sense because Huey reminds Butcher of his brother. What'd you think of that?
I thought it really helped to flesh out Butcher's character a lot. You know, I mean, right before we started recording, we were talking about this. Childhood trauma is a great way to flesh out a character.
Yeah. Yeah. We see it in pretty much everything. Pretty much everything we cover. It's
a good go-to.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good go-to because it works.
Yep.
All right. And it helped to pull together, I think, why Butcher is the way he is. Why he brought Huey under his wing. And even though you would typically think Huey would be the most annoying personality type to Butcher, and he is, and yet Butcher still goes out of his way to protect him, you know, and to care for him and whatnot because of this childhood trauma with his brother.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Yes. But it works. it works. It makes his motivations make so much more sense, not just in terms of this vendetta. I mean, we already knew, understood this vendetta against Homelander. All right. But, you know, it fleshes out a lot more of why he hates Homelander so much. I mean, if you look at Butcher's childhood trauma, all right, you can see how he would really despise somebody who has power and abuses it. You know, and I think that is a big underlying foundation of his motivations.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's a lot of weird power dynamics. I don't know. It's, this season was really interesting because you started seeing a lot of parallels between Butcher and Homelander with, in terms of like power, control, that sort of stuff, masculinity issues. Oh my God. With Butcher, Homelander, and Soldier Boy. So many weird masculinity issues, which shows you that there's just, you can be on a whole spectrum of masculinity issues. Like there is a spectrum to it, right? Like,
yeah,
we can talk about that now. Cause we were talking about at some point before how it's interesting, especially between Soldier Boy and Homelander. And also I guess Butcher too.
Yeah.
They all suck, but in different ways. And the patriarchy and masculinity shows up in them in different ways. So with Soldier Boy,
still extremely toxic ways.
Right, right. Different but toxic ways, all of them. So with Soldier Boy, you know, it was very, you know, they were showing him like to be a very typical like man's man. And like, oh, yeah, man's got to do what he can to protect his family, blah, blah. He's got to do this and that and never show his feelings and don't cry and blah. And then Homelander had like a superiority complex issue, an arrogance thing going where he's like, I am in fact just better than you, but that not because he was a man, partially probably because he was a man, but mostly because he's a super short for superhero. Anyway,
I mean, his speech at his quote unquote birthday party, and quote unquote, because the birthday was picked at, what is it, at random for marketing purposes. His speech on that was very much of a like, no, they say I'm just like you. I'm not. I'm better than you. I can fucking fly, you know, and shoot lasers out of my eyes. I am better than you. I'm stronger than you. You know, like this is why I'm a hero, is because I'm not like you. You know, I thought that was a very interesting, it was a very interesting speech, I thought, sort of getting into Homelander's mind, because he has the superiority complex, but he also then doesn't understand why he isn't universally loved, which more than anything, he has this need to be loved, probably because he was raised by the marketing department of thought, you know, and constantly told from a young age, like, you know, these are your numbers. You're liked by this many people and disliked by that many people for this and that, this, that, and the other, you know, and that is his entire purpose of being. And it was interesting to see him sort of let off what he thinks of himself while still having this need to be loved and adored by the public. Yeah, I thought that was a very different kind of, I don't even know, does masculinity come into it? It's more like, it's more like insecurity that comes into it.
Well, I think that's what like so many toxic masculinity issues are, you know, intertwined with insecurity issues as well.
And
then also I think then like later, like especially in the finale of this season, you see that he really desperately also wants to be loved by his son too. Ryan, Homelander does.
Yes.
And
that was more of a family thing, I
think. Yeah, it's a family thing, but is this also the same Homelander who just wants to be loved and adored? And of course, especially he wants to be loved and adored by his son. And I don't know, like, it's like, there's unhealthy levels, right? Like there's a healthy level of wanting to be loved. Every human being wants to be loved, right?
Yeah.
And then there's an unhealthy level of wanting to be loved where you're willing to hurt other people to get that love. And that's what Homeland. Yeah. He just
and
hurts people.
I do also wonder though, with that finale that you brought up, Homelander talked about how he didn't grow up with a family. He was basically born out. He basically was grown in a test tube.
Yeah.
All right. Was not really given any sort of human contact. Probably because the scientists at Vought looked at Soldier Boy and said, well, let's avoid any childhood trauma issues that one might have from having parents.
Yeah. But like, I love how they didn't calculate the biggest childhood trauma couldn't also sometimes be not having parents. Hello. Like, very weird.
Yeah. Very weird. I'm hypothesizing. I don't know if that's what their thinking was.
Right.
But, you know, like, Homelander is very much always in search of this family. And for him, family, I think, means unconditional guaranteed love.
Yeah.
All right. And I think that's what his fixation with Ryan comes down to, is this notion of, if I have a real family, they will love me unconditionally, you know? And it was something that he always struggled with the Seven.
Yeah.
You know, where they, with leading the Seven, they didn't just love him unconditionally. They didn't. It was
like, they never did. They were afraid of him.
Internal. Yeah. They were afraid of him, and Homelander didn't know any other way to operate. To just be loved. That, I think, is what he is seeking in from Ryan, or seeking in Ryan, out of Ryan. What, I don't know what the correct grammar usage is.
I get what you're saying.
But that's what he wants from Ryan, is unconditional family love. All right. And I think he was hoping for that from Soldier Boy.
Yes. He was totally trying to find that validation from Soldier Boy. And it was real sad in the finale when he's like, I wish I could have raised you, because I would have raised you better and not be like a crybaby, blah, blah, blah. You know, I was like, wow.
I mean, okay. The ironic thing is that not like earlier in that episode, Soldier Boy talked about his issues with his dad. And it was basically, he just like, was like completely, like, had no fucking idea that he's doing the exact same thing to Homelander. It was amazing how obtuse Soldier Boy is. Also, slight sidetrack. Every time I think of Soldier Boy, all I can think of is that stupid song.
The song, right? Soldier Boy,
Soldier
tell
Boy
him.
Up in this hole. Why me crank it? Why me?
Mine, you don't have to sing it. It's fine.
It's so bad.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just kind of, it is just, I mean, it's a reflection on just humans in general, because we do this all the time. We are like, my parents messed up with this. I could totally do this better. And then we don't see how much of us just turns exactly into our parents.
Yes.
And
yes.
And then the vicious cycle just continues. And so that's why I'm really, oh my gosh, that last shot of Ryan's face, I was like, oh man, he's going full evil now. Like, he's just turning into another mini Homelander who was a mini Soldier Boy, and that was it. Yep.
Yeah. And that last scene was also very interesting, because I think it was making direct commentary on what's happening in a certain segment of our society today,
which seems to be plaguing mostly white men. Let's be real.
Yes. And we see that with Todd.
Yes. The MM's wife's husband. I mean, ex-wife's husband. Yeah.
I was never clear to me whether they were married.
No, they were. Cause he called her Janine's stepfather at some point.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, the way that remember they showed like his eyes just like lighting up when Homelander gave that weird birthday speech.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, here we go. This dude's getting radicalized right now.
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought that was like, that whole commentary was super interesting. Also that in the very beginning of this season, when Stormfront was still alive and just laying in that hospital bed and like, you know, Homelander would go and visit her, but there was one conversation between them that I thought was just fascinating in general about the differences between their characters. Cause Stormfront was an actual Nazi who thought white people in general were superior.
Yes.
And Homelander was like, can you just shut up about that? Like, I am, but like not because I'm white, you know, like he didn't yeah. have like that kind of issue. He had a different superiority complex issue. And yes. I just thought that was so funny. And that was interesting how they, they're like, okay, well, Homelander's not like a Nazi in the typical sense. I mean, he's yes. terrible and evil and needs to be put down, but it's it was just really like that, all these different things throughout the show, the different commentary that they've been giving, I thought was great. Even with, what was it, like parts of when they were showing Deep throughout the...
Yes, that was very interesting. I didn't think we were going to touch on the Deep's storyline.
Yeah, I genuinely, I mean, I honestly, creepy. It was super weird and creepy. And but do you remember that scene where they did that whole like imagine all the, like all the celebrities singing Imagine? And do you remember that?
Yes.
I was cracking up. I was like, yes, please make fun of this. I cannot believe that happened in real life. Like, really? During a global pandemic, y'all celebrities thought it was a good idea to sing Imagine from your mansions? Oh, wow. Yeah. Like, God, talk about out of touch with reality.
Seriously. I mean, they did the same thing with the whole with A-Train's commercial.
Oh, my God.
With A-Train's fucking Pepsi commercial.
So ridiculous. Oh, my God. That, yeah. And that was making fun of Kendall Jenner's Pepsi commercial. Yeah. Real life Pepsi commercial. Oh, my God. I'm like,
was so bad.
I mean, life really is stranger than fiction. Like they were literally pulling out that, being inspired by true events to write those things into the script.
Right. I mean, the fact that fiction is having to turn to reality to find something weird and ridiculous enough for this world. It is, I laugh because the other option is to cry.
Yeah. 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 And yeah. I wonder, so there is going to be another season, obviously, of The Boys. I don't know if it's going to be the last season. I wouldn't be surprised if it is, but
yeah,
for multiple reasons. But I think because they've clearly given Butcher's character like a deadline.
Yes.
like a literal deadline. And
I see what you did there.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Pure dad joke level. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. And all this commentary on different real life things, like the really far right extremist movements, like white supremacy, all this stuff. I wonder if they're going to do some sort of bigger commentary in the next season about January 6th.
I wonder about that too, especially since now you've got Nadia/ what's her
Victoria
fake name?
Victoria Newman. Newman, yeah.
As a vice presidential pick.
Yes. Yes. So yeah.
At some point I can see Homelander leading a people's revolt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, especially now that like they've shown him just kill someone in front of his supporters and they don't care. Trump.
Only did they not care? They were like, yeah, you did the right thing. That is what you need to do to people who say shit like this.
I mean, that was very much like Trump when he was like, I could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and my supporters wouldn't care. That was exactly
they
that.
Would love me more.
Yeah, exactly that they acted out in the show, which is really horrifying. Yeah,
it is horrifying. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's why there's term limits.
Right. What does that even mean now, Mon? Like what, like in this day and age? I don't know. What does it matter?
I mean, it's better than not having term limits.
I mean, like so much trust for democratic institutions themselves has just plummeted recently.
Yes.
And, you know, that's different from trust in a person plummeting, right? Because that changes.
Yes.
That's whatever, you know, that's going to go up and down. But when you lose trust in an institution, that's not good.
It's not. It's not. And I think you're right. That may be what The Boys is building up to. You know, I mean, you've got Homelander, who has found out that the people who love him will love him more if he's just himself, and who he is as himself is a fascist prick.
Yeah.
All right. And they love him for it, you know, and it's going to be very much of a, he took control of Vought by pushing out Stan Edgar, which I still don't understand how the hell that happened. Like, I mean, yes, I know, you know, Victoria Newman, aka Nadia, like turned on him, saw an opportunity, turned on Stan Edgar, and that pushed out Stan Edgar from the board. And then that brought in Homelander, which how the hell did Homelander maneuver himself to be the head of Vought? Kind of, that's the part that I'm still kind of scratching my head on.
Yeah, because Stan Edgar, they had built him up to be this character who is always thinking 10 steps ahead of you, you know, like, so I do think he'll come back though. He can't.
Oh,
not.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
He's got some plan in the works and he's going
to
come back.
Yeah, he made it very clear to Homelander in his exit that, like, you've taken the crown. And I believe you will come to regret it.
Yeah.
Once you find out what it actually takes to run this corporation.
Right.
You know, as we see with Ashley and her wig.
Oh my God, dude. Every time she would pull out a chunk of her hair. I mean, that was like one of the most disturbing parts of the show. And then her pulling off her wig. I was like, how have you not quit? My God, just to even save your life at this point.
I know. Seriously. Ugh. Seriously. But she is now the CEO of Vought.
Yeah, but still.
At the cost of her hair.
And her mental health, let's be real.
I think that was gone way, way earlier.
Yeah,
that
but
was gone
I mean,
in season one.
Yeah, but still.
Anyway. Yeah.
Okay. And then last thing, I just wanted to give a shout out to Frenchie and Kimiko for overcoming their childhood traumas. And I don't know if overcoming is the right word, but basically moving forward and embracing who they are, especially when Kimiko is telling Frenchie, reminding him the past is not who we are, you know? And the past does not define us. And because Kimiko has always thought of herself as a monster. She thought getting these powers made her a monster. And, you know, Frenchie's got a whole load of shit. I don't even know how to unpack his stuff. But
I do not have the necessary degrees
to
open up that, to have a conversation on that kid's trauma. Yeah.
I mean, I genuinely don't really know how Kimiko survived that one fight without her powers when Frenchie was like chained up and stuff. Yeah.
Barely.
That didn't make sense.
I believe.
I thought she was going to die.
I was very convinced of that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that can't be the last thing. Mm-hmm. We have to talk about A-Train.
We have to talk about two things. We have to talk about A-Train and we need to talk about Huey and Starlight. So let's go with A-Train.
Yes.
First of all, it's a very sad story with A-Train this season. My God.
Very sad, but also very much his comeuppance, I think. Mm-hmm. This whole show got kicked off because A-Train ran through Huey's girlfriend.
Yeah.
At the time.
Right.
All right. Mm-hmm. That is what kicked this whole show off.
Yeah.
And I think what you see is karma coming back to get A-Train. You know, in so many ways for all the horrible shit that he's done. That may be how the show got kicked off. But he then murdered his own girlfriend, all right, to keep his position in the Seven.
So messed up.
And to stay in Homelander's good graces.
Yeah.
And he turned his back on his community. And the thing is, I think that it is a very special type of comeuppance that A-Train got, where he was trying to make amends, but the shit he did in the past was so horrible that it was not enough.
No. And it was very much too little too late.
Very much too little too late. And I think that there is a sick, sick irony in the fact that they put Blue Hawk's heart into A-Train
to let him
run again. I mean, he now has to live with that.
Yeah.
He literally has the heart of a racist.
I know. It's crazy. That's so like, and I, every time I think I'm like, okay, this is the turning point for A-Train. He's going to do something slightly less shitty now. Nope. doing shitty things.
And yeah. There's so much that we can talk about in terms of Blue Hawk representing over-policing of Black communities and creating. I mean, it's one of those things where it that is a whole symbolism for, you know, this whole tough on crime thing that we lived through in the 90s and everything, how that created a cycle, actually, of continuing crime in certain communities.
Yeah.
All right. And I think that that Blue Hawk is representative of that, you know. Yeah. And it's, and I think, you know, there's so much that we can talk about there, but
yeah, I'm going to, in the show notes,
I felt like we had to at least mention it.
Yeah. In the show notes, I'm going to include a link to a trailer for this show that I watched recently. It's called We Own This City. It's basically for anyone who's a fan of The Wire. It's essentially like a sequel to The Wire, not really a sequel, but you know, it's like very much along about the same thing about the Baltimore Police Department and how corrupt it is, and about also just the war on drugs has just destroyed, of course, destroyed communities, but it's kind of a huge reason why police forces are corrupt in the first place. And it's fascinating. I mean, it's like heavy topic, so but I'll include info on where to watch that and everything in the show notes. So
yeah, so all right,
watch and learn about. Okay, now Huey and Starlight. All I really want to talk about is the fact that Huey, like the idiot he is, just constantly he's obsessed with wanting to save Starlight. Bro, why? Like, you don't, like, no one needs you to do that, okay? Like, literally just stop. And then I loved how in the finale, he does help her by not trying to go in guns blazing and save her. Like, yep. Good job, Huey, you know?
Eventually he figured it out.
Yeah. It's like, you got to help lift up other people, not just, you know, carry them. And it, like, yeah. I don't know. It's a, I don't know, my analogy.
I think a big part of it is the fact that Huey is who he is, all right, which is a nice guy, but he is around all these toxic masculine figures around him that I think their way of thinking eked into him.
Yeah.
And is what caused his behavior to be what it was in this season, I think.
Agreed. Yep.
You know, so good on Huey for figuring it out. Definitely a warning sign for don't surround yourself by toxic people.
Yeah.
Or if you do, you know, like at least recognize that they're fucking toxic and don't take on their bad behaviors.
And exercise boundaries. So important.
Yes. Yes. Great. But yeah, I think that, you know, being around, spending so much time around Butcher and being in this position where he's continually, even when he was part of that new department headed by Victoria Newman, which also, like, how are you a member of Congress and also the head of a federal agency? Like, I don't think you can do that. That really gets at the whole separation of powers issues. All right.
Was she a member of Congress too? I don't know. Yes, I forgot.
She was. I'm pretty sure that you can't do that. You can't be a member of Congress and part of an executive, about the head of the agency of the executive branch. You know, it's crossing too many separation of powers issues.
Like
that shit just would not fly in the real world. But Huey was reporting to her. He's reporting to Butcher. He is constantly in this place where other people are literally saving him, you know? And I can see how being around people like Butcher, it starts to feel like it is a bad thing that he is the one who is constantly needing to be saved. Mm-hmm. Even though that's not literally what happens, Huey plays a very critical role in a lot of the operations that the boys carry out.
Yeah.
You know, but he's still made to feel as though his ass is the one constantly being pulled out of the fire.
Yeah.
And I can see how he started to become uncomfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
And And at the same time, I'm glad to see him find his place in all of this, where he should be, where his strengths are.
Yes. You know,
and to be comfortable with having a girlfriend who's a goddamn fucking superhero. And quite frankly, like, she's a superhero. Bro, you are not going to be pulling her ass out of a literal fire. It's not going to happen. She is going to be pulling your ass out of a literal fire.
And that's
fine.
You need
to be okay with that.
Because that means you're both alive. Yeah.
And that is okay. And there is nothing wrong with that.
Yep. And we've brought it back full circle to toxic masculinity issues.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Yep. Yeah. On that note, I think we're good. We've covered it all.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we got it all. Not like all. There's so much more in this show, but...
I mean, yeah, whatever. As much as we can. All right, then. As always, thanks for listening to Grounded Geeks.
And we'll catch you next week.
Bye.